The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
My next guest has released his new book, Our Friends in Beijing, to coincide with the 100th year anniversary of the founding of the Chinese Communist Party. And lest you think that we're about to talk about a dusty old tome looking back at Mao and beyond, we're not. We're going to talk about a hugely entertaining piece of fiction as written by John Simpson, who is World Affairs Editor of the BBC, and we've talked to him many times in a more serious vein. John, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. It's nice to hear you.
Now, it is a hugely entertaining book, and it features your character, John Swift. And if people think you're just borrowing from Dean Swift of St. Patrick's Cathedral, well, you are, but it also happens that your character is related to the great man.
Well, yes. Of course, the great Dean didn't have any children, so he can't be a descendant, at least not that we know of. So, yeah, of course, it's a little bit of hokum, Pat. I mean, it's a character who, with a past, it's a character that's kind of based on me, only not entirely. It's an opportunity to, frankly, settle some scores, and to also to tell the truth as I see it about China and the way that it operates and what happens to Chinese people who fall out with the government, all of that kind of thing.
Now, your character is an Irish journalist with the old family pile is in County Louth. His brother runs the pile. But he's a man who's a bit down on his luck at the beginning of the book.
He certainly is. I mean, he's somebody that has trouble with his big broadcasting organisation. The fact that I have strong Irish links and work for a big broadcasting organisation with which I've had problems isn't altogether coincidental. His background is Irish, but he was educated partly in Britain and grew up in Britain and works for a British organisation, as of course so many Irish friends and colleagues of mine do.
Is given his P45, as we would call it here, from his organisation. And I'm not doing too much of a spoiler because it happens so early in the book. Tell me about your own difficulties with the BBC. Are they current or historic?
Well, I'm beginning to think that they may actually be historic, Pat. We had a new head of news who came in, I think, in 2013. And what nobody knew at the time was that he had come in with a mission to get rid of older people hanging around. And of the old people hanging around, I am the absolute oldest. And he got rid of David Dimbleby. He got rid of, or at least I don't know whether he got rid of them, but they left under his in his time. Jeremy Paxman, John Humphreys, and me. And the way that it was done was not very pleasant. I mean, we weren't. Well, I wasn't told that I was. They wanted to get rid of me. It was just that he cut my pay down by three quarters at some stage, and I just kind of clung on by my fingernails, really. And lo and behold, a friend of mine rang me up one day and said, "You might like to see page 17 of the Times," and put the phone down. And page 17 of the Times had a story that said that he was leaving the BBC to go and find other ventures. And I mean, during that time, there were various things that not all of us were terribly happy about. He rehired Martin Bashir, the man that did the interview with Princess Diana as a ethics and religious editor, which didn't seem to me to be right at all, and various other things. Anyway, when he went, and a new regime came in, and the new regime was much nicer to me. And now, I have to say, they're giving me a new program, which starts in the new year, and I'm feeling pretty good about all this. I may even have to write a novel about my character being treated nicely by his bosses, although that doesn't seem like it.
Well, your character is a wonderful creation, but what you've done is to weave your own experiences of China, and it has to be said, you're ambivalent about China in the sense that the way it is run and some of the decisions they might make about minorities, the Muslims, the Uyghur people, and yet the ordinary Chinese people that you meet on a day-to-day basis and how they have lifted, I suppose, an economy from being a peasant economy to being a world power is nothing short of amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you put it in a nutshell. I mean, who could fail to admire a country which was so very, very backward under Mao Zedong only 30, 40 years ago, and has risen up to be a major, perhaps the major industrial power in the world. I mean, that is magnificent. What is less magnificent is the turn that it's taken in just the last, about eight or nine years. I mean, I was going to China. I went to China in, 2009. I go several times a year. But I went one time in 2009 when it looked as though things were really starting to open up and China might actually really becoming a genuine democracy. And I remember going and creeping on my hands and knees past a police watched post outside a man's house, and the man had been a very, very senior politician indeed in China, right at the top of the Communist Party, and then he'd had all sorts of dodgy ideas about how, you know, people might actually vote for their government and all sorts of outrageous things like that. So he was he'd been jailed, and then he was under house arrest, which was how I went to see him. And I did an interview with him, and he said, "Look, I know I'm really plugged into this government. I think that within 5 years we will have an elected parliament in China, and I will be sitting there as a member of it." Well, it didn't happen because Xi Jinping, the current leader, took over. Now he's made himself, if he chooses to be, president for life. He's got his own plans and thoughts about the way that Chinese politics are run, which is second only to Mao Zedong's own ideas, and he has borrowed lots of ideas off Mao Zedong. And altogether, it's a different and much less, I think, politically less attractive state than it seemed to be shaping up to be.
There's a sort of a pact that many of the citizens seem to have made with their government, and that is, don't rock the boat, and we'll leave you alone, and we will ensure that you have smartphones, smart life, freedom to travel, and all the rest of it, but just don't rock the boat. And that seems to be the way it works, and many people accept that. Then you've got the idea of the Communist Party, a party probably full of billionaires. Quite extraordinary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And yes, that is the pact. You keep quiet and we'll make sure you're rich. That's fine. But what happens if and when China stops being as rich as it was, say, last year? What happens if this year There's more unemployment. There are problems, not of China's making necessarily, but because the world economy is in a state. That's the big danger that China faces. And so Xi Jinping's notion to about that is to strengthen the control of the party over every aspect of life, and to silence anybody that makes a noise about it. And that's, I'm sure that's what's happened both in the case of the Uyghurs, who are a million or so of whom are behind bars, the Muslims, because they follow a different voice, they follow a different line, being Muslims. The Christians, who are also repressed, except for those who follow a very heavy state control. And of course, people in Hong Kong who showed their attachment to democracy and open government by coming out onto the streets. They all have to be crushed and silenced. And it's not a very attractive bargain, but I think Xi Jinping is getting it all in place in case that China itself becomes less kind of willing to obey orders and starts to get worried.
Now, in your book of fiction, as I said, it's a very entertaining read. It's of a very high literary quality as well. But I laughed out loud many times throughout the book. There's a thing which we're not allowed to say anymore, you know, that people from China are inscrutable. but in fact, in a kind of a way, that's what your character, John's problem is, that he doesn't know who his friends or his enemies might be as he rambles across China.
that is true. Not, I think, because Chinese people are inscrutable in the old in the way that Europeans used to think. Actually, they're far from inscrutable. Very emotional and very, very warm. I mean, it's a thing that I love about going to China, is just seeing ordinary Chinese people, really, really often sweet-natured and kind and helpful. I mean, I just think they perhaps deserve a bit better than the government that they've got. And what an advantage that would be to the rest of the world if there was real freedom in China. But it is an absolutely lovely, lovely country. Just in case you're going to cut me off, can I tell you a joke that Please. Happened to me when I came back from a meeting with my boss in London, and I said to, and she'd said to me that this program was going to go ahead, and I said to my son, I've got a 15-year-old son, very, very pro-Irish son, I may say, but not hugely, sadly, aware of religion and stuff like that. I mean, I go to church, he doesn't. And he doesn't read the Bible, and he doesn't know any of the Bible characters. What he does is he loves football. And so I said to him, they're going to give me a program. I said, it's the biggest comeback since Lazarus. And my son said, who does he play for? And I just thought, this is a great moment. And he was a bit disappointed when I, you know, it wasn't Manchester United or something like that.
Well, John, I want to alert people to the fact, when they see a book with its title Our Friends in Beijing and the name John Simpson underneath, this is not one of your contemporary history efforts, of which you have many. This is an entertaining piece of fiction which I've enjoyed absolutely enormously, and I know there will be more from John Swift in the future, if you can find the time with all your other obligations.
I think I'll find the time. It's too much fun writing those things not to be able to do it.
John Simpson, thank you very much for joining us from London this morning.